Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, they happen to be, for this next hour, the views of Melody Cederstrom, who, of course, is in the gold and silver business and does support Radio Liberty, and we support her, and we think she does a great job for the people who listen to our programs. But today we're going to talk about, of course, what's going on in the financial markets throughout the world, and Henry Paulson, formerly with Goldman Sachs. In fact, he gave up a $40 million a year job with Goldman Sachs to get $180,000 a year working as Secretary of the Treasury, but Mr. Paulson has said that he's very, very concerned that the housing crisis is going to extend really for several years here in the United States as more and more people face the foreclosure of their homes. Now, of course, the government is working, the Federal Reserve System is working with a number of major banks. Apparently, Citibank, which is the largest bank in the United States, has about $80 billion, that's $80 billion in these collateralized debt obligations. In other words, the bonds that really are not worth anywhere near what they have been chalked up to be. And then, of course, many of the other financial institutions have these bonds that really are not performing. And so what are they going to do with them? Well, of course, the whole idea is that they're going to set up a separate fund for about $100 billion to try to bail out these banks. Remember, Citibank is the largest bank in the United States and is facing real serious financial problems because of all these collateralized debt obligations, these fraudulent bonds that they bought. But this is happening all throughout the world. It's happening in Europe, in England, and I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty in the housing market, and when Henry Paulson goes, you know, before the public and tells us we're going to have problems for years to come, we're going to have problems for years to come. The dollar is losing its value. Our economy is not doing well because we've transferred so many of our jobs and manufacturing plants overseas. The price of gold and silver and commodities is rising. Inflation is, you know, really going higher and higher. The oil companies, certainly the OPEC wants to get the price of oil up to $120 a gallon, $120 a barrel. And all of this is going to impact upon our economy and, of course, is going to further undermine the stability of the American dollar. Melody, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Well, why don't your comments?
Well, I agree. You know, the American people, the general public, I mean, they're oblivious to what is happening about our dollar. You mentioned how Paulson has discussed about the housing market and how it will affect this country in the years to come. And we have to remember that when people like Paulson and the reports that they give, most likely it's always done on a very limited basis. And so we have to view that the things that they admit to certainly will see items much worse.
And I think it's only a matter of time before all of the various components of this whole incredible scenario come together, the derivative market. There is nowhere there's enough money in the world to bail the derivative market out. You're talking about $400 to $500 trillion in derivatives. There's not that much money in the entire world. And of course, as certainly Warren Buffett has said, derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. And he's talking about lethal to our monetary system, and that's why Warren Buffett and other smart people are shorting the dollar, because they don't have any trust in our currency. Well, Melody, certainly the gold seems to be doing fairly well. Where did it finish the day?
Well, right now also gold is up in the aftermarket, but today we were at about 758, And the aftermarket right now, even though it is thinly traded, is up another $6, so we're about $7.64. And, in fact, all the precious metals are up in the aftermarket, but that seems to be, with silver, platinum, and palladium following along. So it'll be an interesting day. We'll have to see if that continues until the markets open up here on our shores tomorrow morning. But I saw where the Asian markets were falling off. They're down. I think the Nikkei and the Hang Seng, they were both down over 1%.
Yeah, you're talking about the stock market, or you're talking about gold?
The stock market.
Okay, fine.
Their market. So, but usually what happens there follows all the way around, and certainly our markets were down, you know, a little bit today. They were down a little bit yesterday, so it's going to continue around. And so I would assume that the European markets and everything would be all down significant tomorrow morning.
How did silver end up in the aftermarket today?
Silver in the aftermarket is up 16 cents at about 1370. So it's having a hard time staying up over $14. But I expect eventually it will pull above and continue its journey just along with gold leading the way.
Well, I think it's so important that our listeners understand that all of these markets are manipulated. I mean, certainly the stock market is manipulated. The commodity market is manipulated. This is illegal, but that's all right. When you work for the government, why, you don't have to follow the laws. It's sort of like they have a law that says it's illegal for any American citizen to lie to a federal official, but there's no law that says it's not all right for a federal official to lie to an individual. So, I mean, basically they have two sets of standards, and if you and I try to manipulate the market the way that the government and the Pledge Protection Team manipulates the markets, why, of course, we'd end up in the hooskow. But they manipulate these things regularly because it's all a matter of perception. You've got to get the American people to think that everything's fine. And they're just buying time, you know, because they know that sooner or later the whole house of cards is coming down.
It just amazes me, Dr. Stan. I talked to some people this weekend where, you know, they work for Tyco, and they want to get information about their investment plan, their pension plans, their 401s, or whatever plans that they have through Tyco. And their plans were actually frozen several years ago.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Melody was saying that she's talking to some people who are trying to get information on their pension funds. In other words, how much money they have in their pension funds. And who do they work for?
They work for Tyco.
Okay, fine. And they can't find out what their pension fund is?
They can't find out. They don't know how much they have since it was frozen. A lot of the information isn't being released. They continue to put money in there knowing that the company isn't matching, but they have no control over their funds. And I hear this on a daily basis where all these 401ks and these pension plans have control of people's money, and people can't do anything about it. And they should check with their plans to see how much they do have access to it, that perhaps you can roll it over to a self-directed IRA, and at least that way perhaps you can get a precious metal self-directed IRA and at least protect some of your paper investments by buying and putting gold in there. Is that the best vehicle to purchasing gold? I don't think so, but when you're in a position where you don't have access to your funds only by rolling it over, I think it's a lot better than holding on to those paper investments. And what people don't seem to realize, and maybe they do realize, but they just can't accept the fact, is, you know, when you talk about systems merging and you're talking about systems failing, you're talking about the dollar continuing to fall, and once a panic sets in, I believe that the system can freeze, and we've seen them put the markets on hold after 9/11, and we can certainly see that again. So it's important to try to get all your information and your all your accounts in order, so if anything like that does happen, at least you'll know how to respond. And certainly, and of course, gold is always a great way to offset those type problems.
Well, I think that the most significant thing is that the dollar is falling. Where did the dollar end up today, do you recall?
It's about 78.12.
All right, fine. And of course, it took a long time to get down below 80. And of course, certainly as it falls, well, it means the value of the dollar is falling in relationship to other currencies. And here, just this last week, we found that, was it Kuwait that said they were no longer going to tie to the American dollar? And Vietnam and a couple of other countries have said that they're no longer going to tie their currency to the dollar?
That's correct. And every day, the administration, the Federal Reserve, they have to decide whether to support the U.S. dollar by raising interest rates or just letting the U.S. dollar fall and lower the rate and keeping the rates lower just to help the domestic economy. And it's amazing that they're just letting the dollar fall.
And, of course, that was the real function of the Federal Reserve system, was to give us a stable dollar, and they just haven't done it. It's lost certainly well over 40% of its value here in the last 3 years. And prior to that, it lost 96% of its value going back to the dollar, what it was worth back in 1913. And so we've seen this dramatic reduction in the value of dollars. Certainly everybody said, gee, my house is going up in value. No, your house isn't going up in value.
No.
It's simply that the dollar is losing its purchasing power. That is the tragedy. People all say, well, you know, the Canadian loonie, the Canadian dollar is going up in value. No, it's not. It's the American dollar that is losing its value, but nobody ever explains that to people.
No, not at all. And, you know, the past 2.5-3 years, gold has outperformed any foreign currency, and people have to realize that most of those foreign currencies are all fiat, just like our U.S. dollar. They have the same problems, perhaps not to the degree that we have, but they will have to the same degree. And they're all fiat currencies. They're all overinflating their currencies. They're all going to have the same problems, and we will just be leading the way. And I think, how it affects the Asian countries, they know to buy gold. You know, the Indian women, they're big buyers of gold. The Chinese are big buyers of gold. And there's some really big buyers in the gold market. And we saw that brief pullback in gold when we hit briefly 720. And there was some major buying in order to bring that gold back up to where we're at today. And personally, I think it's very possible that we could have China in there buying. We can have some other central banks in there buying gold to keep it to see that massive response that we've had. And everybody is talking about a pullback, because when you have an item that increases to the degree that we've seen in gold in the past 2.5 months, everyone expects some sort of a pullback. Well, we haven't seen it, and I'm not so sure we're going to get it. But if we do, I believe it will be a very short-lived, considering where we're at with the dollar and these housing, the numbers that are coming out in the housing market with Georgia, Atlanta, and even California. We've seen some major numbers in the housing market and the foreclosures that are rising so significantly all across this country. So.
I think really what's so interesting is that certainly a lot of builders, people have been building, private homes or condominiums, and so they've got them all finished and they can't sell them. And there's a place up in Sacramento, and of course it was very interesting. It was reported in the San Jose Mercury that in Sacramento there were homes there that were selling for about $617,000 for a home in this development. And they had to, of course, get rid of a lot of them because they were going to be facing bankruptcy, and they had to keep up their bank loans, and they didn't have the money. They put those up on the market and sold many of them for 35 or 40% less than the homes that were actually in the area. In other words, they were going for $617,000, and then homes right next to them went for $390,000. In other words, they were auctioned off at really tremendous discounts, and this may be just the very beginning. But when you see houses losing that much in their value, and these are brand new homes, and they're just glad to get rid of them. They have to get rid of them because so many people are doing everything on credit. Buyers go out, builders go out, they borrow the money to do a big building program. And then, of course, all they have to do is sell the houses. They get their money back, and then they can reinvest it again. But what happens when you've borrowed all the money and you can't sell the houses? You can't sell the condominiums, and you're put in that position of having to auction them off and taking this tremendous loss. Well, you may not even get out the amount of money that you put into that house, but you're better off to do that than to lose everything. So this is really, I think, what we're seeing all across the country, and people don't realize how severe the crisis really is.
I don't think so. And, you know, the biggest question, and I think everybody wonders, and it's amazing how the American consumer continues to spend. Of course, I believe all the retail numbers that came out, I believe some of them were just flat-out lies, just like everything else that so much of the reports that we hear from out of Washington are just distorted and certainly not the truth. And but there's always reports about how the consumers are continuing to purchase. But we got to remember what said this economy was those homes, those $617,000 homes in which people took equity out at the same time they were buying these homes. Or perhaps they bought them, you know, a year or two ago and took all the equity out. That's what fueled the economy. So not only we see in the value of these homes going down, we see people that are owning these second mortgages and these equity lines on their homes, and those aren't wiped out. I mean, if they auction off their home and they get rid of their home, those second mortgages stand alone. So now they have to face that. So, and it is truly amazing how the consumer does keep going to the point where that they tell us. And now we have oil quickly approaching $90, and certainly gasoline prices haven't responded. But I think we'll see that also in the next week. We'll see gasoline prices respond to the higher oil prices, and we know, as you mentioned earlier, that certainly will be hitting 100 and 120. So now we're looking at $3.50 gasoline and maybe $4 gasoline.
And, of course, you can be sure that Washington, D.C. will come out with figures that says inflation is 2%.
Oh,
nothing,
yeah,
to worry about. And they're simply lying to the American people, because if the American people realized what the inflation rate was, they would realize the rate at which all of their savings, everything which is mediated or denominated in dollars, and how rapidly the value of their life savings is being eroded and destroyed. And people have to understand that this is going on if they're going to be motivated to do something to protect themselves. My fear is that so many good people who have certainly ridden this bubble up and seen this tremendous prosperity are not going to recognize what's happened and, of course, get out before the bubble completely collapses and there's nothing left. And they're going to keep their money or keep their savings, their life savings in money, and money, of course, is losing its value at a rate probably close to at least 11% a year at the present time, if you take into account all of the things that are going on. But, of course, they're not going to do that. They juggle these figures, and that old adage is that figures don't lie, but liars can figure. And when you work for the government, why, you come up with the figures they want, and they don't want the American people to know what's going on. Not until it's too late, of course, to protect themselves. Well, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our local number here is 464-8295. 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, don't be bashful, but Melody would love to talk to you. So give us a call. I believe, of course, America is facing probably the worst crisis that this nation, financial crisis, has faced, going all the way back to 1929. And I think it's only going to get worse. I don't think there's any solution, because at least in 1929 we had a gold-backed currency. Today we no longer have a gold-backed currency. We have a fiat currency. And history tells us that no nation on a fiat currency has ever survived. Well, Melody, how's business doing? Are you seeing a lot of customers coming in, or are people sitting on the sidelines?
Well, right now we have a little bit of both. A lot of that past.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Money out of the bank. And, of course, you remember banks will lend up to 8 times the amount of money that they have on reserves. And once the reserves are gone, why, of course, all you've got is all those loans out there. But if they're, of course, invested in these collateralized debt obligation bonds, which are really, of course, only worth 25 cents on the dollar or 30 cents on the dollar, then you are in real trouble. And, of course, this is what's happened in Northern Rock and many other financial institutions that are not telling the public or their investors the truth about their holdings. So anyway, Melody was simply saying that so much of what goes on today is perception. They want to keep us thinking that everything's all right. They've run the stock market up, and they got it up over 14,500 here just a few weeks ago. But it's down below 1,400 now. What is it, about 13,900, somewhere there? So it's really lost almost 600 points here in the last week or so.
Yes, it has. But I think that's more important to them anymore than even the dollar, because we did break 78 on the dollar Sunday night, I believe it was, early yesterday morning, and they were able to bring it back somewhat. So it's almost like they're just waiting to see, let things fall as they may fall, and deal with the problems as they come along. And I certainly do believe there are a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes, and I mean I don't have a crystal ball, but I read a lot, and I think there's really something major brewing.
I think so too.
Sure, we've had these things brewing for a long time, but I think there's something going on right now.
Well, I think if we get into a war with Iran, yeah, or there was a major terrorist attack on America, I think, and we saw the price of oil go up, over $100 a barrel, we could see a real drop out in the stock market. We could see the dollar falling, and falling very, very rapidly. And especially the dollar will fall when other countries stop propping up the American dollar. The United States is the largest debtor nation in the world today. In fact, the United States is probably the largest debtor nation the world has ever seen. And we're totally dependent upon people throughout the world to keep us going. And how long will other nations continue funding their dollars that they've earned through their through sales to us, things that we've bought and we've given them dollars, but how long are they going to keep taking our dollars? I wonder, they know it's falling in value. And if they have their money invested in the United States, and, of course, the dollar is falling. And then we have inflation, which, of course, erodes the value of the dollar, and which inflation is running truly about 10%. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out if you're getting at 5% interest and the value of the dollar is going down 10% a year while you're losing 5% a year on your investment. You may be able to do this for a year or two, but after a few years, why, pretty soon you're facing the loss of everything you have. And these foreign countries, I do not believe, are going to continue backing us indefinitely, especially if we go off on our own and attack Iran and plunge the world into a war with the Muslim world. I'm really very much concerned that that may very well be the camel that will break the straw that will break the camel's back. What are you hearing out there from your people you're talking to, Melody?
Well, they have a difficult time. I don't think they can grasp the situation. They don't understand inflation. They understand that the prices are rising, but so many times we take the things that we know for for granted, and we think that everybody else should know this just as much as we do. But there's so many out there that they're working two jobs, and they've been kept so busy for so long. And I do believe that was just part of the agenda. It was in order to condition the people, to keep them busy, so they don't have time to see what is going on or to grasp the situation. So, you hear from both ends, especially couples, husbands and wives, where one understands what's happening and the other one doesn't. And people don't understand inflation with the falling dollar, why prices are rising, and so many of them think it's perhaps their problem and nobody else's.
Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Melody or if you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call, and we'll be back in just a moment with Melody Cederstrom. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, we keep hearing how healthy the economy is. The economy is very, very healthy, and so there's really nothing to worry about. Our exports are up and rising, and of course, a lot of this really is not true. I mean, our economy is not healthy. We are shipping all of our jobs, or so many of our jobs, so many, of course, of our factories overseas, and we're shipping the equipment of those factories overseas, so that we will never be able to, once again, be a great manufacturing nation. That's part of a long-range plan to redistribute the wealth of the world, and it is part of the plan of globalism. The difficulty is the average American finds it very difficult to believe that our leaders, the leaders of both political parties, have an intense hatred of America and of national sovereignty. They really, of course, are more dedicated to this idea of establishing a world government, and the only way to do that is to build up the economy of the rest of the world and destroy the economy here in the United States. And so when you tell people what's going on, they look at you with glazed eyes and they say it just couldn't be true. And I know if it was true, why would we be hearing about it from Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Brian Williams? And people don't understand, they are paid fabulous salaries not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth from the American people. And our job, Melody's and mine, is to try to get people to understand what's going on. Not that we're going to change it, but at least some of the people may be able to protect themselves and from the terrible things that do lie ahead. Well, let's go to Nick, who's calling from Spokane. Nick, do you have a question for Melody?
Yes, hello. I was just wondering, where do you see the dollar in, let's say, a year or two?
All right. Well, Melody, where do you see the dollar in a year or two?
Well, it seems to be breaking all the resistant levels, and there's a lot of reports out there that we could even see the dollar down around 40. And I think that's just something we have to see, but it certainly has gone through all the resistant points. And I'm not quite sure right now where the next level is, but we certainly have seen it fall quite rapidly from 80. And I wouldn't want to predict something like that.
All I can tell you, Nick, is that Ron Paul was saying that our value could become without value. This is Congressman Ron Paul, who's been on the House Banking Committee for years, trying to let the American people know what was happening. And currencies can essentially become worthless. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Nick calling from Spokane. And Nick was certainly asking, you know, where is the dollar going to go? Where will it be a couple of years from now? And Melody was saying that right now, of course, the dollar is about 78. Now, what does 78 mean? Well, if you took five or six currencies, there's a basket of currencies, and they say that the average one is 100. So the average currency would be 100, and of course today the European EU, that's the European currency, is about 140. And the American dollar is down around 78. So we're about half as valuable as the European currency. Just a few years ago, why, the European currency was at 80 and the dollar was at 120 to 130. So it's fallen from about 130 down to about 78 now. And of course, certainly if Melody is correct, and I don't know any reason why it shouldn't be, why, of course, if we continue our current rate of inflation, we could be down around 40 within a couple of years, and eventually we could end up, you know, as they are in Rhodesia, in that country, Zimbabwe, that was installed by our State Department, where the current rate of inflation is about 30,000% a year.
Okay. I'm just looking to buy land in a year. And I don't want to take out any loans on it, so the land would cost about $70,000, and right now I have $40,000, so I would need another $30,000, and that would be a year from now.
Well,
so
that price may be, the land may be cheaper a year from now as well.
Yeah.
But do something to protect your $40,000. put your 40,000 in something that will not be eroded by the ravages of inflation. Because if you have $40,000 today, and we have a 10% inflation rate, why, of course, that means that next year that $40,000 is really going to be worth $36,000. And, of course, the year after that, it'll be worth about $32,000. So, and, of course, if as Bob Chapman suggests, next year inflation will be in the neighborhood of 15%. You'll lose the value of your currency even faster. So do not just leave the money in currency. Put it in something else, and then hopefully it will actually maintain its purchasing power. But I really think that probably there will be a big drop out in money pieces of land in the coming years. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
I agree. I think you'll see land prices drop. I think raw land right now held its value fairly well against the housing market, but I think you'll begin to see that drop more and more and perhaps faster and faster. So
the reason I'm buying the land is to build a home on to live. I'm not just doing it for investment or anything. But,
right. Well, of course, but don't go into debt right now. Just
No, that's what I'm trying to do, not go into debt. And I have cash, and I need like a year so I can save up to $70,000 for it.
Okay, well,
so it's about 20 acres. So I mean, if the dollar is not going to totally collapse, then if it's falling, like you said, $4,000 a year or something, yeah. And. Then I can make up for that, you know.
Okay, fine. Well, good luck to you, and I think you're wise not to go into debt. Don't get into debt at this time. Thank you very much. Anything else, Nick?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, fine.
I don't think anybody, you know, we can't plan when the dollar is going to totally collapse. I think one day we'll wake up and it will have done so. And I think what we're seeing now is this gradual decline. I mean, it's happened over, you know, time and so forth, but when it's, you know, so to say that you have a year or 2 years, you know, I'm not so sure. And again, I think we'll wake up one day and it will happen, just like it's happened in all other countries when they have a currency that has been devalued. And I think one thing that the American people lack is patience. You know, we want everything to happen today. I mean, just even my customers, they want gold to be $80,000 tomorrow. Well, we have to be patient. And we have to let things play out. And gold does not always react to a certain situation. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it takes time for it to filter through to the different markets, so to speak. So we have to have patience. But yet, you know, in a lot of things, people wait also too long. Maybe they have too much patience, and they wait for things to happen, and they shouldn't do that either. So I think we're in times where people need to sit on the sidelines. And you're right, Dr. Stan. People should be protecting their cash and their currency. It's great to save, but what's the point if you're losing value of it? And that's what people just don't understand, is how their currency loses that value. And to protect it, you should be protecting it by something that carries the least amount of risk than anything, and that's gold. I mean, gold has been a store of value that's been recognized for thousands of years. You know, gold has no boundary. It moves without regard to race, color, religion, or political correctness. And as our country is declining, we're seeing other third world nations are growing in economic power, influence, military power, and as their living standards rise, you know, their demand for raw materials and gold will also rise. So we're a failing nation. You know, we have problems, and these problems aren't being addressed. And as long as these problems are not being addressed, we're going to continue to fall. And so as far as I can see, as with other investments, and again, it's the suitability of everyone, but gold seems to be carrying the least amount of risk in which you can protect your assets, protect your purchasing power. And I hear all the negative arguments against gold and so forth. I'll tell you what, it has, you know, when you compare it with other paper investments and dollars and everything else, I'd rather be with gold than anything else at this point in time.
Well, Millie, why don't you get your telephone number and your website out for our listeners?
It's 1-800-375-4188. 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to visit the website, you can go to discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And if you'd like to email me with any questions regarding your gold and silver portfolios, you can do so at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd certainly like to give us a call. I mean, people say, well, you know, we could never have a massive devaluation of the dollar, and yet people have forgotten that back in 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt called in all the gold. And once the people had turned it in and gotten $20 an ounce for it, he doubled the price of gold, which effectively discounted the value of the American dollar literally almost 100%. Well, it was, I think it went from $20 an ounce to $35 an ounce, so at least 80% simply overnight. The dollar lost half of its value in relationship to gold literally overnight. Certainly in Argentina, about 5 years ago, the peso was tied to the dollar, and the Argentine people were told, the peso is simply as solid as the dollar. We would never cut the tie. You can leave your money in pesos. You can trust us. And they woke up one morning and they found that banks were closed, and now the peso is worth about 25 cents of the dollar. And, of course, the same thing happened. All the people who had lent money to Argentina, they were offered 25 cents of the dollar. Take it or leave it. And if you don't take it, you'll get nothing back. And this impoverished, you know, literally tens of thousands of people in Europe who'd been encouraged by their bankers to invest in Argentine bonds because they were just as good as the dollar. Well, of course, Argentina broke with the dollar, and the dollar survived. But how long can the dollar survive? Well, of course, we are certainly have massive trade deficits, and our trade deficit this year is going to be well over $800 billion. They say it's going to be down a little bit from where it was last year. I don't know whether that's true or not. Have you heard anything where we are with the trade deficit? Certainly it's approaching $1 trillion, though.
Yeah, it is. No, I haven't seen the latest figures on that, but I can't imagine it. We still have I can't imagine it going down that much.
And then, of course, you know, what we tell, they keep telling the American people, look, the federal deficit, and remember, there's a trade deficit, and then there's a federal deficit, but the trade deficit's getting better and better. What they don't tell you is when they calculate the federal deficit, that they are not including the money that we're spending in Iraq, because that's off budget. They're not including the money that they're stealing from Social Security and Medicare. That just becomes part of the national debt. They have actually now going to raise the national debt ceiling to, I think, what is it, $9.8 trillion. We've already passed the point where we were at $8.9 trillion, and now they're going to have to raise it to another $1 trillion. And the average American really doesn't understand what's going on. Well, let's go to Watsonville, where we have Daniel calling in. Hi, Daniel. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thank you. I had two questions for your guest, if I may.
You go right ahead.
I'm wondering what the total amount of one's savings that you would recommend putting in gold and silver or you know, precious metals.
Did you get the question, Melody?
Yes, I did. And thank you, Daniel, for calling.
Yes.
On your savings, I believe you need to carry some cash. I believe 3 to 6 month emergency cash.
Okay.
And then I believe a minimum of 30 to 50% should be in precious metals. And I'll tell you what, with what we're facing, there really isn't anything else. Isn't anything else other than gold and silver.
So at least half you would recommend.
A minimum. I mean, the majority of my clients have, you know, 70, 80, and 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to the individual.
Yes.
And what's suitable for you. And, you know, I just don't lump everybody together.
Yes.
And so you have to look at your own situation and see where you're at and what you have. Of that, you should have 80% in gold and 20% in silver.
Okay, anything else about Daniel?
Yeah, I'll be giving her a call. Yes, I'm wondering if she sees the situation that we had in 1933 ever reoccurring with the gold being confiscated.
You know, it's a great debate, and I think they can do anything they want. I do believe it will be regulated. Do I believe they're going to knock on your door to take it? No, I don't believe that. I believe eventually it will be regulated. And so how it will be done or when it will be done, I don't know.
Yeah.
I believe if people are positioned properly and if they own the proper gold and are diversified properly with gold and silver, they shouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And that's the key. I don't believe confiscation should be used as a tool to sell a particular type of gold. Because we're right back, if you're positioned properly, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But over the years, that's what they have done. They use that as a selling tool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do need to be aware of it. We need to know that it has happened. We also need to know that it can happen again. There's discussions out there that people don't believe it'll happen because, you know, people don't own gold today like they did back in 33. Well, my question is, they were taking people out of gold through the 20s and putting them into paper currencies. Not only that, you had 29 that wiped a lot of people, you know, a lot of people were broke. So how many people in 33 really did own gold compared to today? So, you know, so I don't buy that debate. So it's just something we have to, you know, keep in mind. And and again, it's an individual. I have customers who, you know, they don't want to own anything that isn't non-confiscatable proof.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a personal decision also.
Yeah. Just diversify, Daniel. I think that's the biggest thing.
That's the key.
I'll do that. Thank you very much.
God bless. Well, let's go to, is this Ron or Rod? It's Ron calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Good. I just tuned in maybe 10 minutes ago. What kind of gold are you actually recommending buying? Are you coins, stock, actual gold? What are you recommending?
What are you recommending, Melody?
Well, again, I look at an individual and how they are placed because everything is suitable. I mean, everything that I recommend to a customer is suitable for them.
Okay.
I do recommend coins over bars.
Coins over bars.
Pardon?
Coins over bars.
Coins over bars. You want something that's more recognizable, acceptable. Bars were popular before, really, 1986, before you had the coin market evolve and you had the mint come out with the gold eagles and the silver eagles.
Okay.
So bars were, you know, that was the only thing that was available after we were able to own gold again, you know, other than rare coins.
Okay.
So now the market's evolved, but you do want coins. You get a premium on them when you go to sell them back. You know, once in a while I will recommend bars, but again, it comes back to the situation.
Okay.
Stocks, I think it's paper. And again, depending on the individual, I believe if you have to own stocks, gold stocks, I think you should have a 50-50 leverage. You should have 50, you know, if you have to carry it, whatever you have in stocks, you should have in gold.
Okay.
You know, because you have to be balanced. You have to be diversified.
Okay. I've got some money in a 403B program.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a little bit obviously concerned about things. And I mean, do you leave it sit there? Do you take it and convert it over into buying gold?
Well, you have to find out how, you know, how much access you have to those funds.
Right.
And you have to call your plan, and many times they don't tell you the truth up front. I mean,
exactly.
I hear it day in and day out.
Exactly.
But you do have to take an active role, do a little bit of your own investigation, find out if it can be rolled over to a self-directed IRA.
Okay.
If that's the only way that you can get access to it, well, then open up a self-directed IRA and put it in precious metals.
Okay.
Once you have it in that precious metals, then you can take access to those coins, I believe. and you still have to pay your taxes and everything, but at least you have access to it.
Okay.
So, but again, you have to check with your plan.
Okay. So you do you actually operate as a financial consultant in the realm of gold? That's your area?
I understand gold and the reasons. All gold brokers out there were listed as retailers.
Okay.
No, so, you have to have a financial consultant. It's a special government delineation.
Right.
And you have to have a license to be a financial
consultant.
And that
I am not.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Melody, one more time. Let's go ahead and get your telephone number out there, your website.
The phone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, we've got Bruce calling from Spokane. Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
Very good, Dr. Spann.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I'd like to ask her if it, this period of time, it's best to sell off other hard assets, such as collectibles.
Well, what sort of collectibles are you talking about?
Well, I've, like firearms collection, antiques, solids, that are, that also, you know, generally speaking, appreciate against, paper assets and hold, at least hold their own against inflation and most of the time improve.
Oh, that's a good question. But how do you feel about that, Melody?
Well, I guess it depends on how much you have and how much you already have your, how much you have preserved your wealth with gold and silver. If I didn't have any gold and silver at all, and depending on how attached you are to, you know, because you do become attached to them, you know, how easy it is for you to sell. But I don't think they will hold up quite as well as what gold will do. You don't have, the firearms I certainly would keep, so...
Well, I mean, within reason. I mean, if a person has over 100 or so or and something like that, and, you know, they actually are an investment, and they've done quite well in some ways.
I'll tell you what, I've seen sometimes when the collectibles and antiquities have done better than gold during periods of time. But we're facing a financial, we're facing a currency crisis. We're facing where a dollar or a currency is losing value. And so, again, it's back to being diversified. It's back to being what's suitable for you.
That's one thing is liquidity is another aspect of it, too.
Yes, it is. You know, you have far greater liquidity with gold than you would with any of these items.
Yes, I do agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just the rate of increase in value that I was, concerned, thinking about comparing the products.
All right, Christian, then this. Would you be better off in gold or would you be better off in antique weapons?
Gold.
I think that if the economy begins to collapse, why those could actually go down in value.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to wait and see. But we're in very, very difficult times now.
Well, I agree.
Financially, and it's going to begin become increasingly apparent within a year or two that we probably are going to see basically a collapse of the economy. And at that point, why, you certainly want to be in something that's liquid. Hey,
yes.
Thanks so much for calling.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye. And our guest has been Melody Cederstrom. Melody, God bless. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed Melody Cederstrom. Certainly, of course, to understand what's going on today, let me suggest my talk on Financial Tsunami, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. And then, of course, there's actually a little pamphlet we put together. I think it's compiled of four newsletters called The History of Money, and a lot of good information there, the history of, certainly, of what happened in ancient Greece and ancient Rome and Florence and Vienna and Venice, you know, when they went into a fiat money system. And then, of course, certainly one of the best things that we are moving a great deal of, and I'm amazed that we've put out at least a case of these books recently is the book The Creature from Jekyll Island by Ed Griffin, and if you can request that along with a CD, and certainly they come together, and Ed Griffin, of course, wrote the book. So if you'd like to get The Creature from Jekyll Island, or Professor Sutton's wonderful book on the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, or the book written by Arthur Dickinson White 100 years ago about what happened in France 200 years ago, called, the book is called Fiat Money Inflation in France. And when you read what happened in France back in 1789 and 1790 and 91 and 92 and 93, when they tried to create a fiat money system and, of course, regulate that by government edict, and you'll see exactly going on what happens, what's going on today. And so those three books, The Creature from Jekyll Island, Fiat, the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, Fiat Money Inflation in France, and, of course, my talk on Financial Tsunami. It's available on DVD. Or then, of course, we have the syllabus. And then the History of Money, a little pamphlet. That information, you'll know more than most college professors about what's going on. So if you'd like to know more about them, my telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Then I want to once again remind you, it's a week from Sunday, that's October the 28th, we're going to have our all-day seminar here in the Monterey Bay Area at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And if you're interested in coming, it's going to be starting at, well, we're going to open the doors at 7:30, probably start at 8:30, and then, of course, we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to go through till about 5 or 5:30, and we're bringing in Dr. Garth Nicholson, Ron Brown. We're going to have, Michael Shaw will be there, Carol Matriciana will be talking, an overview of what's going on, the time for answering questions. We do hope that if you're interested in coming, that you will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. To really grasp the significance of what's happening and why we are fighting in Iraq, you need to hear my talk on The Forbidden Secret. It's available on DVD, and there's a syllabus that goes with that, although it's nice to have. You don't have to have it, but it will give you a lot of President Bush's speeches, and then you can begin to see the phrases there, like the fire in the minds of men, the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. Or certainly when our founding fathers declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What in heaven's name is he talking about? Well, you can only understand if you understand the forbidden secret. And this is the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. Now, from the other point of view, from the point of view of the people who embrace the other religion, why we suggest a four-tape or four-CD set called The Secret Behind the Secret. We also have the award-winning DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And all of this information is seminal to an understanding of what is going on and why we are fighting in Iraq today. Some people will tell you we're there to protect Israel. Some people will tell you we're there for the oil. Some people will tell you that we're there because Saddam Hussein was a wicked man. Some people will tell you there that we're there to protect the dollar. None of those stories is true. And that's why you need to hear The Forbidden Secret. We'll be back in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, for this hour, they're going to be the guests of the views of Barry Shamish, who's a reporter, an investigative reporter from Israel, who was actually forced to flee his homeland because of threats against his life and his safety. And so he's here, and of course it's to our advantage to have him here to keep us abreast of what's going on in Israel and the significance of the unfolding events, which of course are going to impact tremendously what happens here in the United States, because remember, the Holy Land is simply the center of the world today. And here you've got this little strip of land along the eastern shore of the Mediterranean, and you've got a town named Jerusalem, and yet so much of what's going on in the entire world today centers around the place where 2,000 years ago, why Jesus walked. Well, Barry, go ahead and give us your impression of what's going on in Israel today and how it's going to impact America and the world.
Well, we had reaction from last week, and I suppose I expect that every November. By the way, Yitzhak Rabin was killed on November 4th of 1995. So every year we have the Yitzhak Rabin two-week memorial holiday in Israel, where they choose between the Hebrew date of his murder and the English date, and it usually adds up to 2 weeks of nonstop news, really about the conspiracy. No exaggeration about the murder of Yitzhak Rabin and how it really took place. And now we spoke last week about a remarkable poll where, lo and behold, 46% of Israel's religious population, which is close to half, by the way, believed that Rabin was murdered in a conspiracy. The conspiracy was led, as I have written innumerably, by Shimon Peres, the president of Israel, Carmi Gilon, who was head of Israel's FBI called the Shabakh, and Yoram Rubin, who actually pulled the trigger. Now, I was sent, first of all, a remarkable headline in Ma'ariv in their weekend edition. It's called Sof Shavu. It means weekend, where there is Yigal Amir, and there is a headline, 46% of religious Israelis believe he didn't pull the trigger. Honest, I got to tell you, I didn't believe I'd ever see a headline like that in a major mainstream Israeli newspaper. Lo and behold, 46% of half the population of Israel, the religious sector, don't believe that he shot the bullets that killed Rabin, which of course is the truth, but I didn't believe it would actually be presented in a mainstream daily newspaper called Ma'ariv on its best-selling weekend edition. That's what happened.
Well, I think, Barry, you are to be commended, because it's a large part of your efforts there to get the truth out that I think has brought many Israelis to, at least the religious Israelis, to a realization that they were lied to by the government. And that's an important thing when people begin to understand that the media ordinarily isn't telling the truth and that somebody's playing games with their minds. So you've done a great job. I know you've made tremendous sacrifices to have done what you've done and paid a terrible price for it in your personal life. But on the other hand, you know, each of us is called to accomplish something while we're here on Earth, and I think you've accomplished a great deal.
Well, the secular Israelis didn't do bad either. 28%.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Okay, Barry, go ahead and pick the story up.
Well, that was a brief gap between the music and me talking. But Fair enough. Now, there is a tremendous reaction to the fact that Israelis are waking up. Now, the first reaction, again, you don't get this in the Israeli media. We'll talk about what you do get about the Annapolis conference and Condoleezza Rice and promising that Israel will withdraw from Jerusalem, and you saw it on CNN, and that's, you know, that's really bad stuff. Believe me, Jerusalem was divided. Before the 67 war, Jerusalem was divided, and Israelis were shot by the other side on a really, I'm not exaggerating, a daily basis there were shootings. But let's go back to Rabin for the time being, because the Israeli establishment, which really controls the media there, it's no exaggeration to say that the Israeli media is controlled by a very small number of people, and I can go into grand detail, but I won't right now. Nonetheless, Haaretz, which is really a very radical, well, it's a very anti-Jewish newspaper, a very, very Sabbatean secular newspaper, well, it ran an article that a very rich person, unnamed, we don't know who it is, donated a large amount of money to free Yigal Amir. Now, this, when it was sent to me, was shocking. On the one hand, it could be real. I mean, there might be some American millionaire who actually wants the truth told. So I went digging, and lo and behold, it was a trick. Now,
For our listeners there, you should tell the people who Amir is, because a lot of our listeners would not be acquainted with that.
They don't know the killer of Yitzhak Rabin is Yigal Amir. Yeah. According to the Israeli courts and media, he was the shooter of Yitzhak Rabin. At the time, he was, 27 years old, 24 years old, whatever he was when he supposedly shot Rabin. The fact of the matter is, he did not shoot Yitzhak Rabin. Now, there's now a movement backed by an American multimillionaire.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply saying that there apparently is some sort of an American millionaire who goes to free the man who's been accused of and was convicted by the Israeli courts of shooting a Rabin, the premier of Israel a number of years ago, I guess a decade ago. So, but why would anybody want to do this? Obviously, of course, if they would free this man, it would mean that that very story about the conspiracy to kill the Israeli prime minister is true, and that, of course, he really was killed by members of the government over there under the directorship of Perez. So who is this American millionaire? Is it really a true story? Is this a setup for you?
Well, they don't name him. And the murder, of course, was in 1995, 12 years ago. All we know, and this I had to dig a little bit deep to find out who was supporting this initiative in Israel to free Yigal Amir, and people, it was our intelligence services. It was the Shabak. The people behind the Israeli side, at least, were, well, I've discussed their names before, and I'll remind you again, they were Itamar Ben-Gvir, and they were Avigdor Eskin, both of whom, by the way, sued me in Israel, and I went to kangaroo courts, where incredibly, I semi-lost. Avigdor Eskin sued me for claiming he was working for the Shabak. Now, he sued me for 20,000 shekels. The judge said that my defense was very persuasive and ordered me to pay, 4,000 shekels, In other words, one quarter of what was demanded. Nonetheless, let me tell you a little about Shabak agent number one, Avigdor Eskin. He is a new immigrant from Russia, new meaning about 25 years. 1 month to the day before Yitzhak Rabin was murdered, there was a ceremony outside the Prime Minister's office. In other words, Yitzhak Rabin's home and office in Jerusalem is on Balfour Drive, opposite Paris Square, where Avigdor Eskin brought a quorum of men, 10 men, to recite an ancient, well, at least a medieval Jewish curse called the Pulsa Denara, which was a death curse. They prayed to God to kill Rabin. This was 1 month before he was actually killed, and believe me, I don't believe that was an honest quorum trying to kill Rabin through God's mercy, so-called mercy, for the Jewish people. But Avigdor Eskin's career, let me give you one example. For Yigal Amir's 30th birthday, Avigdor Eskin showed up at Be'er Sheva prison, where Amir was a prisoner, with a birthday cake, complete with 30 candles. And he was going to go into the prison and give Amir a birthday cake. But a taxi driver got a little peeved at this protest, and Avigdor Eskin, in front of the cameras of Israeli TV and in front of the photographer's camera, beat him to a pulp, really, to a pulp. He beat him up, and we have new evidence that Avigdor Eskin is a radical from the far fascist right who beat up a cab driver who didn't want him to go to prison to give Yigal Amir this cake. Avigdor Eskin was working for the Shabak. Maybe another show, I'll go into the details of this. He is one of the recipients of this millionaire's largesse. And by the way, the largesse only happened after the Marib poll showed that 46% of its religious Israelis no longer believe that Yigal Amir shot Rabin. And in fact, well, by inference, believe that Shimon Peres, as I have long contended, was at the top of the conspiracy to murder Yitzhak Rabin. There are names your listeners won't relate to well, but I'll say them anyways. Second in command was Karmi Gilan, head of the Shabak. Third in command was Yoram Rubin, who worked for the Shabak. And also, by the way, brought Sharon into Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem after his stroke, which he concocted or received, however it happened, after drinking tea with Shimon Peres in the Knesset. There's a hit squad out there.
Well, of course, the thing is, why, though? Why would an American multimillionaire give up this gentleman who is obviously, at least according to you, affiliated with the murder of Rabin? Why would he give him money to help release the man who's been accused of murdering Rabin? That doesn't make sense.
Oh, it does. Of course it does. If you read my work, the idea is that the only people supporting this crazy conspiracy theory are the far-right fascists. They are the members of Koch. It makes perfect sense. It makes me associated with them, which I am not, believe me. That's why I had these ridiculous suits against me by the very far-right of Israel, because I'm not from the very far-right. I'm a simple little journalist trying to find out the truth, and the very far right are trying to besmirch and hide the truth. This is, well, it's good strategy. Look, let's face it. if the only people defending Yigal Amir are from Kach, and their names are Eskin and Ben-Gvir, by the way, really ended the fight for Gush Katif, and I'll talk about that shortly. If they are the ones defending Amir, then obviously I must be a far rightist, which actually I'm not. I try my best to be truthful. And if the far right, by the way, occasionally somehow happen to be on the truthful side, I will defend them. But on the other hand, being opposed, for instance, to George Bush's war in Iraq, that really puts me on the far left. And that's why people never understand me. One day I will speak to a group of rightists, next day a group of leftists. The fact of the matter is I'm only after the truth, and left and right are totally manipulated. These are really very phony points of view when you understand that we are all being manipulated, and we're being manipulated to be far right and far left in ways nobody seems to understand. And somehow or another, I try to swim my way through the deception and just get to the truth one way or another.
Well, Barry, one reason I enjoy having you on is because I agree totally with that concept that you're putting forth. I believe, of course, that the culprits behind what's going on always want a controlled opposition. And so they create a right-left, conservative, liberal, democratic, republican conflict. And, of course, that everybody chooses up their sides. And it doesn't matter which side you're on. The establishment, the wicked people, you call them the Sabbateans, and as certainly I call them, well, basically Sabbateans, but the world satanic movement is always winning because they control both sides and they create this controlled opposition. I think it's a very astute observation.
Well, it's from experience, that's for sure. The fact of the matter is, when it comes to my point of view on 9/11, I'm leftist. When it comes to my point of view on Israel, I'm rightist. But really, I'm just aiming at the facts of the matter. And in the case of the murder of Yitzhak Rabin, Yigal Amir didn't do it. Shimon Peres did do it. And the facts bear both sides out. And now, as for these two sides getting together, oh, I don't think so. I think the dissonance and the rupture is so profound that they won't get together. And by the way, I have spoken to both groups. They don't have all that much to talk about. And I might add, I actually like the leftists, but they're a little off the beaten track for the rightists, who actually are trying to stay on a very, well, in their point of view, but I agree with it, they are trying to seek truth in the real world, where the leftists do get off into an occultic point of view, which I overcome. I actually do overcome it. But neither here nor there, I don't vote, neither right nor left. That's not me. So we will just live with a path that this phony new movement to free Yigal Amir is done against all people, certainly all the peoples of Israel. It's done to hide the real murder. And that's what's being done in Israel. But it gets worse. Something I didn't know, and by the way, you'll forgive my congestion. It's been going on for a week. Just forgive it. And we'll go on to the next point of view. And it's not a point of view, actually. Yigal Amir fathers a child. He's about to be a father. The murder of Rabin sitting in isolation by all legal means unmarried has fathered a child.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Barry Shamish here at the American Freedom at Genesis. Well, go right ahead, Barry.
in this article in Haaretz about this new right movement headed by two members, and by the way, I will talk about Ben Gvir shortly. I talked a little about Eskin. These are names this audience would know, but nonetheless, go to my website, the Barry Chalmers website, or just write in Barry Chalmers, chamish.com. Go to my article section, get educated, and that takes care of that. Yigal Amir is about to be a father. Now, the man Avigdor Eskin, I know it's confusing, but I'm going to repeat the name until it's not confusing. Avigdor Eskin, as a member of the Shabak, introduced Yigal Amir to his bride. Her name is Larissa Trimbobler. Now, I met her. She is working for the Secret Services. It was obvious these people are fighting me and they're fighting the truth, and I guess they win. They have so much, well, they have more resources than I'll ever be able to gather on behalf of objective truth. I can't win. There are just so much, well, money, resources, power, legal system, the works are against me. But Larissa Trimbobler supposedly married Yigal Amir because there is some tract somewhere in the Jewish legal system where if the bride and the groom declare that they're betrothed, that somehow they are betrothed. Just leave it at that. We won't go into the legalities. A few rabbis said, okay, they want to be bride and groom. They declared their declarations in prison without a rabbi, without a witness, without a ketubah, which is a written, well, it's a vow. It's a vow. Leave it at that. A few rabbis said that without all the legalities of a marriage, they are married because they want to be married. All right. Let's say we all agree with that. There is some legality that allows that. How does he impregnate this woman? All right. Now, look, the man is in isolation. There is a camera on him 24 hours a day. Now, it's hard enough in an Israeli prison for a man on death row, the equivalent of death row, life imprisonment. They don't have a death row in Israel. If you're in life imprisonment without parole, it's the equivalent. And in the case of Amir, he cannot so much as go to the bathroom without some guard recording it. How does he have intercourse with the bride? How is he going to be the father of a child? Now, if this happened, and by the way, it must have happened, because Yigal Amir has requested to leave prison for the birth and the circumcision of his new child. And I hope they, for
hold
other
on, hold
reasons...
Hold that right there, Barry. We'll be right back here.
Gotcha.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry was saying that Mr. Amir, who is, of course, the gentleman who's been accused of and was convicted of killing Rabin, and Barry is certain that he did not, and about 46% of the religious population over in Israel believe that Amir has been put in prison falsely. But under any circumstances, apparently Mr. Amir has somehow got married, and even though there's no possible way this could have happened, I suppose his wife is pregnant. Now remember, he is in an isolation cell in a maximum security unit in Israeli prison, where he's being held for life imprisonment for the murder of the premier of Israel. And yet somehow his wife, who he married when he was in prison, has gotten pregnant, and now of course Amir is asking for permission to at least leave the prison temporarily for the circumcision of his son. So pick up the story there.
Well, let's just start with the basic question. How did this happen? Okay? Let's just ask if there's a camera on him 24 hours a day and there are no visits for anything conjugal, where did he get the wife pregnant? Now, obviously, the forces, the establishment must have permitted this. Okay, it's that simple, or he couldn't have done it. Now, please let me remind you that one of the three signers, three recipients of this largesse by the American millionaire, whoever he is, to free Amir was Avigdor Eskin. He was the matchmaker between Yigal Amir, the wrongfully convicted murderer of Yitzhak Rabin, and his new bride, Larissa Trimbobler. Well, this whole thing had to have been organized. Now, I'm going to tell you people why I think it's... Well, there are a number of reasons why all of this is going on. The first reason is the Israeli public largely don't believe that he was the murderer of Rabin. And if he was not the murderer of Rabin, well, who was the murderer of Rabin? And then you get to my thesis and my books that the murderer of Rabin was Yoram Rubin, Rabin's personal bodyguard, who pumped the bullets into Rabin. He took orders from the head of the Shabak, or Israel's FBI, called Carmi Gilon, who was promised the world, and by the way, he was given the world by Shimon Peres, Israel's president today. I just outlined, part of the plot. Why would they want Yigal Amir to impregnate this woman? And the reason is, why is Yigal Amir sitting in jail today? Why would he shoot Rabin? Under what circumstance would he become, really to his friends and anyone who trusted him? And the story is long and it's difficult, and I have, my book, Humor to Yitzhak Rabin, and my DVD of the same name certainly outlines this complicated plot, but the fact remains Yigal Amir agreed to betray his friends, and the answer seems to be, now, don't hold me to this, and by the way, I actually believe in this, but still don't hold me to this, because I don't have written confirmation. I had two discussions, one with an attorney, and I believe him, by the way, and one with a policeman who, I believe him as well, a little less than the attorney. Yigal Amir was a pedophile. Yigal Amir was caught while he was in the army, by the way, by Israel police, and Yigal Amir had raped young boys. By doing this fact, he could be blackmailed. And this is, by the way, is what happened. Because the Israeli Attorney General's Department, at the time, led by Dorit Beinish, no, I won't confuse you with names. Let's just say all police files on Yigal Amir were thrown out for, frankly, no logical, normal human reason. The fact is, someone said to him, we will give you a choice. You could be tried for raping young boys, and you see how long you live in prison as a pedophile. Or if you're a good boy, you will take orders from us. You'll do what we say. It will be painful, but you won't be killed and your family won't be embarrassed. That is how you turn someone into a traitor.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Barry Samish, and of course the question comes up as to why Amir would certainly not expose the truth during his trial, and of course according to Barry, it was because Amir was a pedophile and he was given an option. Either, of course, be tried as a pedophile and sent to prison, or you'll probably be killed very quickly by the other prisoners, or play along, and you may spend the rest of your life in prison, but it'll be a much more pleasant experience. Would that be about the options he had?
Well, pleasant is a very optimistic word.
I think that was a poor wording. I take that back.
It's a choice between
being shot or being hung. You don't like either
yes,
one of
exactly.
them.
Yes, exactly. And for numerous reasons, they get agents from young men who have gotten into sexual trouble. That's how they get to them. And Amir was one of them. Now, as for Ben-Gvir, I know your listeners are not familiar with these names. By the way, I put every one of our discussions now up on my website, and you can go to barrychalmers.com and listen to this discussion. After you hear the names, you get used to them. The other, there's two more members of this new group to free Yigal Amir. One is Noam Friedman. I have lots of suspicions, but I don't have enough hard evidence. With Ben-Gvir, I have hard evidence that he was working for, let's call it the establishment for now. Ben-Gvir sued me, and I had so much evidence of his activities. And one of these days, maybe we'll talk about them, but let's discuss a main point. I was given a phone number of a person who lives in a place called the Pratt. He is a close friend of the member of Knesset, Aryeh Eldad, who also claimed that Amir was a Shabak agent, and that one day, to avoid trouble, he took it back. He didn't mean it, but he partly meant it, and his friend explained this to me. He said, Aryeh Eldad, member of the Knesset, sat on the Knesset Security Commission. He announced in...
You're going to have to hold that for just a moment as
right.
We bring our stations on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and go ahead and finish that thought, Barry.
Oh, it's some thought. It's proof as far as I know it. He said Aryeh Eldad addressed the Knesset Commission.
Now, what's the name of the fellow who addressed the Knesset? What is the name again?
Aryeh Eldad.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Believe me, Israeli patriots, rightists, nationalists, whatever, know him. He's a leader in that community. And he pointed to the head of the Shabak, Avi Dichter. And, let's not interrupt with my personal reminiscences. He said to Dichter, how could you plant a creep like Ben-Gvir inside the nationalist camp? The nationalist camp at the time was the camp trying to prevent the downfall of Gush Katif. Neither here nor there, Dichter said to the whole Knesset committee, I swear to you, he is not one of ours. Ben-Gvir works for police intelligence. This was the week, or week and a half, it was right at the time that the resistance to the evacuation of Gush Katif took place at the Palms Hotel in Gaza, in Gush Katif, and Ben-Gvir showed up, wrecked the whole thing. The police walked in, pulled out a couple thousand people, 400 teenagers, mostly young women, were arrested. This was because of Ben-Gvir. Now again, not to confuse the audience, he is one of the three people in charge of this new commission to free Yigal Amir. It's a phony, rotten commission. It is being run by the Shabak. It doesn't exist in reality. It's to neutralize my work by associating me with the very, very far right, which are truly, truly connected to the government of Israel. That is based, what I just did, as I told a three-hour story in 20 minutes, that is what's going on in reaction to the poll from Ma'ariv, that the Israeli public, really in large numbers now, in the millions, probably a couple million, do not accept the Rabin assassination, as the government tried to hoodwink them into, and in fact prefer my book and my explanation over the government's explanation. That, by the way, is a part of the reason I had to leave Israel, because I was not going to survive there much longer. But neither here nor there. If you want this book, Humor to Yitzhak Rabin, you have two options. One, go to lulu.com, www.lulu.com, and write my name in the space for search, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. It'll be sent to you within a week. And you can email me, and I'll send you a copy, autographed, and I'll send you a gift, too. I'll send you another book or a DVD. Chamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. At netvision, netvision.net, net.il, chamish at netvision.net.il. This issue may be nothing in America, but it is really big in Israel. And it keeps getting bigger year after year. It's shocking, really.
Well, I think it's important to keep that memory alive, and Chris, because what it does is cause people to begin to question what they're being told through the media over there, much of which is controlled by the same people that control the media here in the United States. Okay, well, I think that's a fascinating story. Now, did you have something, another story you'd like to tell us?
Oh, my Lord, yes.
Go ahead.
I could go on about this conference in Annapolis that Bush and Condoleezza Rice are supposedly in charge of. It goes higher than that. It goes right to the CFR. It goes into the directions both you and I are aware of. I'll bet you a good chunk of your listening audience is also aware of. The fact is that Condoleezza Rice met Mahmoud Abbas, the so-called leader of the Palestinians, which, of course, is a joke because he lost the last election and, in fact, is not the leader of anybody. Nonetheless, Condoleezza Rice meets him, and I saw this on CNN, so I guess a bunch of other people did, too. Well, what do you know? She favors a Palestinian state and the division of Jerusalem. What do you know? You got it off your mainstream media.
All right, well, Chris, this is what you've been saying for a long time. Take us back to the 1949 barrier, the boundaries of Israel, which would mean Israel could not possibly survive, and yet that is what the American government is trying to force on the Israeli people.
Well, I've been getting, as usual, wonderful communications. By the way, I did an interview with an Israeli magazine by telephone a couple days ago, and they said, why did you leave us? We need you now. What did you just escape from Israel? We need your voice here. And I said, guys, I'm scared of that place. I'm terrified of that place. My people don't live long in that place. And I gave names that they knew, and I told stories that they were aware of, and I said the truth. I will be back there. It's my home. But it's got to change. I can't live in terror of getting killed. Okay? It's that simple. No one can live in that kind of terror. I fought it for 12 years. Since Oslo. Make it 14 years. I said I fought that terror. I didn't think they'd do it. Now I do think they'd do it. I think they did do it. But nonetheless, we talked about the CFR, and believe me, the Israelis don't know what a CFR is. Americans have a better idea. Nonetheless, he said in Hebrew, "Ani maskivitcha, ani maskivitcha." I agree with her. I agree with you on every issue I brought up. I said, "Fellow, there is a war between the religious and not just the secular. It's worse than the secular. They believe their Messiah, Shabtai Tzvi, and their second Messiah, Jacob Frank, were already born. They did not found Israel to support Judaism, the Torah, or the Talmud. They founded Israel to rewrite history and make the Jews a very, very different people. You people back the Torah, and you are at war, and anyone who backs you is a danger. I lost a lot of friends," and the reporter said, "I lost a lot of friends as well. I said this business in Annapolis is going to see Jerusalem return to the state it was before the 67 war, where it's divided, just like Belfast used to be or Berlin used to be, and you are going to have shootings at a daily level until you have to put an end to it, which will mean a regional war." And he agreed with me entirely. And by the way, this Condoleezza Rice is one very, very bad piece of work. Now, I sent you an article written by Henry Mackow. Did you happen to read it?
Yes, I did. Huh?
What do you think of it?
Well, I enjoy Mackow, but sometimes I think he's a little anti-Semitic in some of the things that he says.
He's a Jew.
I know, he is. But I don't think he recognizes the Sabbatean element. I don't think that most Jews recognize the existence of these Sabbateans. I don't think most of you even know who Sabbati was. And I will have to admit that before a few years ago, even though I've been studying so much of what's been going on for 45 years, I had never heard of Sabbati until I talked to you and had read some of Rabbi Adelman's work.
Interesting you should bring up Marvin Antleman. Henry Mackow, I sent him an email, and I said, "I strongly approve of your article. I will distribute it widely." He does know about the Sabbateans now. For once in my life, and by the way, I am reaching a very wide audience with Mackow because I break out of the right wing, and I get to the left wing of the centrist. So, again, Mackow did me a major favor. He recognized me and Antleman as telling the truth that there is a war against Judaism, that what we call the Illuminati, we don't have to go into that right now. They despise Israel, and they are going to bring Israel down. That article is floating around the Internet, and I'm getting recognition for telling the truth from a very unlikely and unexpected source.
Well, I think that there are a lot of good people out there who really don't understand what's going on, and our job, your job and my job, is to get them educated. And I know you do your best to get the information out there. And until people begin looking behind what's going on, and there's so much evidence that's been planted to convince people that all the problems of the world are related to the Jews. And Sydney, you'd be amazed at how many letters and how many calls I used to get on my programs telling me that I just wasn't recognizing the real conspiracy. And when I try to point out to them that it's not the average Jew who's responsible for what's going on, but there is this group within Judaism that's doing everything they can to destroy Judaism, and it doesn't make any sense. And yet I think that both you and I recognize that's exactly what's going on.
I got confirmation with this little article that, in fact, this whole New World Order concept where Jews are in charge, really in charge, there are people who think that, is so, so very wrong. Now, allow me to jump from Henry Mackow to an important issue, an issue I've addressed before, but not your show. I get this letter all the time that Albert Pike conducted a series of letters with one Alberto Mazzini in Italy. He was an Italian high-ranking Mason, and they predicted that there would be three world wars in the 20th and on 20th century and on. The first would be to found Israel. The second would be to create a viable state by wiping out the Jews of Europe. And the third would be the Third World War. And someone wrote me this week, and I just wrote him back, and I said, guys, there were never Albert Pike letters to Mazzini. It's a complete hoax. Now, here's how the hoax works. And this is important if people want to understand how so much disinformation has been distributed about just about everything Masonic. There were no letters between Albert Pike and Mazzini. The rumor that such things existed started with one William Guy Carr.
Right.
Oh, you know this.
No, I know that, and Chris, we've never been able to find the letters. Believe me, we've tried, and of course, there's no evidence that the letters ever existed.
You just took the words out of my mouth.
Well, you go right ahead. I apologize. You go in and tell the story.
No, you just did it. He claimed they were in a museum in Philadelphia, and first of all, he wrote this in the late 40s. So the museum doesn't exist today, so I went looking anywhere for this museum in Philadelphia, never found it. It doesn't exist. He made up the whole thing. And, you know, when I read those letters, and by the way, those letters use the words Nazis and fascists and Zionists, I said, how did he know in what was it, 1856? How did Albert Pike know that there would be Nazis and fascists and Zionists? How did he get all the definitions correct in 1856? Now, a lot of people think that the Masons plan their operations so succinctly that they can write in 1856 that there will be Nazis in Germany. No, they can't. Nobody is that good. The letters were obvious forgeries. Nonetheless, I get this whole business that Albert Pike predicted a Third World War in Israel, and I said, and I wrote back, well, one reader, but I've been writing the same letter over and over again. Those letters did not exist. There are no Pike-Mazzini letters. We did this last week with the elders of the councils of Zion. And I said it was written in 1837. There were no Zionists. Okay? There were no Jews who knew what a Zionist was. We discussed this. It was in France in 1837 when the protocols first appeared. They were discussing the Priory of Zion, not Zionists. And I'll tell you, I don't know how the Jews get so much blame for so much nonsense.
Well, don't you think, though, Jerry, but this is done very intentionally to throw people off the track, and this has always been my contention. But what you want to do, if you and I were conspirators, wouldn't we want somebody else to take the fall for what we were doing? And I believe that's what the protocols are about. I believe that there's an organized effort out there to get people off the track of what this is really all about.
How do they believe this stuff? Look, the Pike-Mazzini letters, you don't have to be a genius when a guy writing in the 1850s mentions Nazis to know that they're frauds. It isn't all that complicated to figure it out that these letters never existed. And again, with the protocols of the Council of the Elders of Zion, 1837 in Paris was the first time they appeared. There were no Zionists. Okay, that's simple. Nonetheless, let's go on. I have a list in front of me. I'm sitting here, just to let you know, I'm sitting here in Florida with a piece of paper of notes that I wrote before I was getting your show so we'd have something to talk about.
Well, I always enjoy talking to you because you are so well organized and it makes it much easier for me. Well, I guess this evening has been Barry Sammons. Barry, once more time, get your webpage out.
Are we finished? I haven't begun.
Well, we've only got a couple of minutes more and we're going to lose some of our listeners. So right now, for those people who are listening, because all the stations are on the network, one more time, how can people reach you?
Get my bucks at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. Write the word, my name, Chalmers, and they'll get to my books. My website, right in the BarryChalmers.com. And if you want to write me, Chalmers@thatvision.net.il. I just did.
All right, fine. Hang on. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up the fascinating program with Barry Sammons. Well, Barry, go right ahead. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
All right. I will do it, finally, with something really remarkable happening in Israel. And I've never heard of this. The cable TV network has been utterly infiltrated by some sort of electromagnetic interference. Israelis can't watch their TV because someone is jamming it. By the way, did you know about this?
No, I hadn't. I hadn't heard that.
Oh, I'm getting emails from friends of mine that said, you won't believe it. Movies freeze in front of your eyes, and then we get snow, and then no cable, and we get cable. Now, the Israelis want to know who is blocking their TV. And by the way, the cable networks have offered free movies and all kinds of apologies. The official explanation is really spooky. This is official, no less, from the cable company. The Russians have ships in the Mediterranean, and they're very upset, the Russians, about Israel somehow getting through their defense systems and attacking something in Syria about 3 weeks ago, and they're now proving that electronically they can even block cable television. And you know what? I think I believe it.
Well, who knows what's going on? Obviously, something's going on, whether that's the explanation or not. But, you know, it sounds pretty far. Why would you want to just make a lot of people? If you want to block the military, it's one thing. But cable television? Who knows? We live in a world gone mad. There are only a few of us who are still sane and an awful lot of people think we're crazy.
Well, it makes the people of Israel feel extremely vulnerable. If their cable TV can be turned on and off at will by an outsider, how good can their defense network be?
Well, I'll tell you what, people are a lot better off not watching television, I'll tell you, in the long run, because so much of it is used to control their emotions and their reality.
I don't think the Russians were thinking of that.
I'm sure not. Anyway, we're out of time, Barry, but thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to having you back on our Radio Liberty programs later this week.
For me as well, I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Bye-bye. Thanks so very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, our guest this evening is Barry Sammons. As always, fascinating, all sorts of information. I know the words and the names may be a little confusing, but after a while you get to know who these people are, and it's important information. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and certainly we are dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs out across America, across the world, to help. And if you agree with me that we are truly involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield, why, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for more information, just call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me remind you, of course, that we have a website at radioliberty.com where you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day. Now only four of those hours are live programs, and the fifth program we don't carry. That's on the American Freedom Network, but you can hear that at AmericaNewsNet.com at 7 o'clock Pacific every morning. But certainly on our web, it's RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our archive programs, our MP3 programs. You can listen to our live feed. And then, of course, you can see our videos. We have a place there you could actually go to our video page. And then, of course, we have our newsletters. So there's all sorts of information there. And we hope as you begin analyzing what we're talking about, we're simply talking about that there's a spiritual battle going on. There is another dimension, a spiritual dimension. There really are people, of course, who can contact that other dimension and are intent upon transforming the world and creating a one-world government, a one-world religion, and, of course, a bringing to power a one-world leader. So if you want to verify what we're saying, read our newsletters. You'll find all the sources, the documentation. We have a three-pamphlet set called The Occult Hierarchy. The Occult Hierarchy, we spent a great deal of time quoting from the web pages and from the writings of the people who are on the other side. And I'm not talking about the left. I'm talking about the people who are, of course, in tune with the spiritual hierarchy. The masters of wisdom, the ancient ones, the elder brothers of these spiritual beings who have crossed that barrier between one dimension and the other dimension, the dimension in which you and I live. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to remind you about our all-day seminar. It's going to be on the 28th of October. That's the 28th of October. It's going to be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and we hope many of you can come. You're going to need a reservation, so if you want to get a reservation, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We're going to start. Doors will open at 7:30. Program will start at 8:30, and, of course, we're going to be going until probably 5 or 5:30 in the evening. It'll be time to meet the speakers and to ask questions, and we're looking forward to a great time. And then, of course, we certainly hope that many of you, if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will get it and read it or watch the DVD. You would watch the DVD for nothing on the Internet, but hopefully you want to get the DVD, and you have our permission to copy that or the video and get it into other people's hands to understand how this fits together. So you cannot connect the dots unless you have some idea, of course, how the various organizations out there and all the movements on the right and the left interlock into this one movement, a massive movement to destroy America, to destroy Christian and Jewish civilization. So once you understand that, things begin to make a lot more sense. You'll certainly want to see my talk on the Forbidden Secret. You want to hear the four tape or four CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret. The four CD or four tape set on the supernatural. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really is a supernatural out there. You'll want to get the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. And I will tell you, this is one of the most amazing sets of videos I've ever seen. And they will help you to understand why it is that so many people of great wealth and great power are working to destroy America today. And then, of course, remember, of course, the videos, the secret mysteries of America's beginnings and of Riddles in Stone. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Your turn.